You may be seated. This morning's reading comes from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, and I'll be reading from chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, no, 1 through 8, sorry, and 15 and 16. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now we're going to welcome Jeannie back to share the word with us this morning.
Last time. So just warning y'all that that might be a little bit of a challenge. I have a shorter message, so you can rest assured that I won't go quite as long today, but I have to tell you, this has been a strange week for me. Let me start by sharing, those of you who weren't with us last time I preached, this is a Bible that I was given when I was in fourth grade. And there were saints at the Coon Rapids Methodist Church that prayed on this Bible when I was in fourth grade many, many decades ago, and they asked it to carry me through my life, and it has. So it's been beaten up. It's kind of as rough as I am, so I apologize if you see it. And it is a concordance version, so my words may be a little old-fashioned as we go through today's sermon. So first of all, let me thank you for getting up this morning and choosing to worship God. That was a choice you made. You made a tough decision. Your covers were warm and cozy, I'm betting, and the newspaper was there. You could have sat a little longer and just turned it online. I am saying to those people who are online that church is a community, and I encourage you to get dressed on Sunday morning, shower please first, and then come in and join us in this place of community, because this is what Christ did. He didn't sit alone only, but he also came into community, and it's tough. It's tough to come and lay our lives open to each other on Sunday mornings, but we know by doing that, we have our Christian fellows who will encourage us and guide us. So, thank you for being here today, and thank you for being open to the good news, which is what we find in Hebrews. Now, I think I told you last time, I love the scriptures. I know that's nerdy. I know that that might be kind of like, you know, Jeannie, that's a really big book, and there's a lot of stuff in there that is not good, and it sounds harsh and mean, and I'm not sure I feel really comfortable with every word that is written in that scripture. I'm with you. I am 100% with you. I wrestle, just like Jacob, I wrestle with every verse in this book, and I ask God to open the veil and help me understand. And I recognize that men's hands wrote these words, inspired by the Lord God. And so even when I wrestle, I know that that's part of God's plan for me too. So today we're in Hebrews. And I'll get to that in a minute, but I wanted to share a story. I have kind of a hectic life right now. I work full-time at Notre Dame, and I do events. So we're getting ready. We're about 2 weeks from football, and my to-do list is not going to get done. There's no way I can get through everything that I have to do in the next couple weeks to be ready for football. So there's a little tension building up in me, right? A little anticipation of failing people that I care about. And as I was wrestling with what to share with you today, and I pray on it every morning in my prayers that God will give me words that he wants us to share today. And it was a blank slate. I reread and reread the different scripture options for us, and I was just, there were abundant stories there. There were abundant words of great goodness, but I couldn't quite find the right message. And then Monday morning, I was looking at this horrendous list of to-dos for this up last week. Horrendous list, you guys, the kind that have multiple pages. And I was getting very apprehensive. That one thing that had been haunting my to-do list for a few weeks had been getting my oil changed. I don't know about you, but not always on the top of my list. So finally, I was Monday morning, 8 o'clock, I arrived at the dealer with ready to get my oil changed. I was so proud of myself. I was going to attack that Monday morning and get a lot of things off my list. I was determined. I got in, and the dealer said, "Jeannie, it's going to take us more than an hour because you have a recall." Oh, that is not on the to-do list. Okay, how long will it take? Well, it's going to take most of the day. Oh, I have to drive to Duke today. And I'm thinking, I've got to do this. It's got to be done. I'm going to be stuck at the dealer working on my laptop, not being productive. And he said, "You know what?" Probably seeing the tension on my face. "We'd like to get you an Uber, get you to work. And then we'll call an Uber when you're ready, when the car's ready to bring you back." Oh, thank you. Thank you for seeing my frustration and my worry. So in comes an Uber. Have any of you taken an Uber? They're kind of hit and misses, right? You might get a great Uber that's clean and fresh air is blowing in the windows, and there's a bottle of water for you and soft music playing and a very nice driver who doesn't bother you through the whole trip. Or you could get the car where they had their dirty laundry in the back seat and moved it up front to their front their side, but the odor lingers along with the smell of their sandwich from lunch, and their music is maybe just not my jive, and it's a little bit chatty Kathy on the trip. I was hoping for the first. I was hoping this big black SUV pulls up to take me to Notre Dame. I'm excited. I'm going to get 3 emails written and off the list in my ride. So I'm jumping in the car, and there's this beautiful woman driving. She's got strong hands on the steering wheel. She greets me, "Good morning. Where am I taking you? Let's confirm the address." I'm like, all right, she's on my team. She had these beautiful micro braids whisked around her face and tall on her head. And her eyes were this expressive brown that just pulled you into her soul. She was the kind of woman that you meet on the street and think, I want to know more about her. She had a Bible on the dashboard, kind of a beaten up one like mine, only in pink, with her name on it. There was a cross hanging from the rearview mirror, so I knew she was a Christian, but as we all know, sometimes outward signals don't always tell us what's on their inside. So I was cautious, and again, I really had a to-do list to get done. Bless her heart, she said, "I know a few back routes. We'll get you there quickly." I'm like, yes, you go, girl, because I'm typing. I'm typing, and I'm calling, and I'm getting stuff done. And she starts telling me as we pass the South Bend bus depot that she used to be a bus driver. She quit that job because people didn't respect bus drivers in her mind, and she felt invisible. Now, I don't know if you know when the Lord's banging you alongside the head, but the Lord was banging me alongside the head. And I put down my phone. And I started to listen to this woman who had spent her life feeling invisible. So she quit her job, although she had met her husband as another bus driver, and she became a factory worker. And she thought she would be more respected because she would earn more money, and she would be surrounded by other people doing work together, and she would be more important. And she went to the factory and she got a couple early promotions. She was feeling good about this new role. And however, she ran into a woman who didn't like her very much. She didn't know why exactly, but she would mess with her work table or hide a tool that she really needed. She would just be ornery and rude, unkind. Finally, it erupted, and the woman threw coffee on her during the workday, and they scrabbled physically. Mm. Now, Sonoma, who is not her real name, said to me that day that she knew she was being tested by God to see if she could keep her cool, and she lost the test. And my heart broke. Because here is a child of God who is loved thoroughly from the bottom of her feet to the top of her beautiful hair, head of hair. This woman is precious and a gift to all of us. And she felt tested and less loved because she reacted defensively. So we had a great chat the rest of the trip, and I shared with her the message that God put in my heart for her, which was light. There's no test. He loves you. There is nothing you can do. There is no set of answers that you have to get right. No one has a red pen. God does not carry a red pen. Your teachers might carry a red pen. Your parents probably have a lot of red pens to evaluate your life, but God loves you. Every part of you, the good, the bad, the whole, the inside, the outside, the ugly, the person who wrestled with the other woman, the person who felt invisible, he loved all of that. She felt invisible and tested. And when we stopped at Notre Dame, you can imagine the scene. Those of you who might be around Notre Dame in the morning about 8 o'clock, there is a mad rush for everyone who's late for work, right? There's like 25 million cars all come into the parking lot. People are frantic. They're pulling stuff out of their bags. They're running because they're late to work. So we pulled up in the middle of the parking lot right before you can enter the gate, and she stopped her car there. So that was pleasant. And she asked if we could pray. That was not on my to-do list that day. It wasn't there. It wasn't in the 25 numbered list to pray with Sonoma, to testify to her that God is love, not judgment, not testing. So we prayed, and I did God's work that day. And if nothing else got done, not one thing fell off my list, I had done the most important work of the day. I had followed God's lead, and I had made sure someone who I wanted originally to be invisible to my workday. I realized that I can never let anyone, feel invisible again. So I'm sorry to do this to you, but I have to share with you our scripture. I know that all of us have felt invisible at one point or another. Oh, yeah. And misunderstood. Amen. When we read Hebrews, I want you to think about it this week. Pull out your Bible and look for Hebrews. Sometimes people get confused that it feels like it should be in the Old Testament, right? The word Hebrew feels like the Old Testament, but it's in the New Testament, way at the back. Why is that? Why is it kind of buried in the back? Hebrews, it's a pretty big book. Important book. Well, it's because some people early thought that Hebrews might actually be written by Paul. Many of us think that all those letters from Paul, right? Ephesians and Philippians and all of those were written by Paul. Hebrews was not written by Paul. It's written by somebody. We don't know who. But we know it's not Paul because in the scripture, it tells us that this person, the author of Hebrews, was listening to apostolic voices, the other disciples, and had been converted from that. And we know that Paul was converted. How? Do you remember? Paul was on the road. His eyes were blinded. He believes he was converted by by divine intervention. So we know that this is not, Hebrews is not Paul's voice. But we also know that in this time in the Bible, this was written about 70 to 90 CE. So Jesus had been dead for about 50 years at this point. He had been risen 50 years ago. And the stories that were being told generationally, remember, people aren't reading at this stage, right? Only the rich. Mm-hmm. And so the stories are being handed down. Hebrews is one of those stories. And the scribes are writing it down. And you have to understand, at this point in history, the Christians were typically Jews who had been converted, right? So they knew the Old Testament. Or they were Gentiles, Greeks, living in the area who had heard the message from other Christians and had started coming together as a Christian nation, right? But this was the time when Hebrews author wrote this letter, when because you were in someone's home having dinner and talking about the story of Jesus Christ, the Roman soldiers could come into your home, pull you from your chair, put you in jail, and feed you to the lions. Burn you at the stake because you were speaking or were thought to be speaking about Jesus the Christ. If you had manuscripts or a letter written by Paul that had been in your home, you would be burned at the stake. Unless you would say out loud, Caesar, Caesar is my king. Caesar is my heart. Caesar is all that belongs in the world. I only worship Caesar. But our Christian forefathers and mothers stood firm. They read the letters that Paul sent them. They met together in churches that were not comfortable. They stood together as a church before the church existed and said, I'm sorry. Caesar, the government, the empire is not my life. It's not my world. But Jesus Christ, he is my Savior. The Lord God is my one and only King, and I will only worship him. These people could have chosen to be invisible. It would have been an easy society to be invisible in. Because of them and their strength and their willingness to not be invisible, to do God's work on their to-do list. We are here today, and we as a church family, whether we are officed here in this building or in the world, at the oil dealer who's fixing my car, or in the Uber, or in a new house for the first time, or driving down the road, we are God's people, and he has to be on our to-do list. Thank you.
Amen.